Well, during my week, I often see Julian actually working away in the church grounds. Last week, I think I saw Ian was there as well. And don't they do a great job? They're absolutely marvellous, the church grounds around here. Fantastic job. That takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Well, Julian, right, you're there 2 or 3 days a week. Julian's there beavering away. Takes a lot of work and a lot of effort, and not a small amount of knowledge as to know what to do. Well, actually, I find the concept of gardening quite fascinating. I could watch other people garden all day. I don't really much like the practice of it myself, though. You can't have everything, can you? But I do like the idea of growing vegetables. There's something about growing your own veggies. It's quite sort of satisfying. I actually tried it a few years ago. Yes, you can pull that face. This was a bit like that, really. Me with my limited knowledge meant I got rather mixed results. But one thing growing vegetables did teach me was what they look like on the surface doesn't always tally with what's going on under the soil. You take my potatoes, for example. On the surface, those potatoes looked quite good, actually. Well, no, they look terrible, because they look dead, all dry and brown and shriveled plants. But when the time came for the harvest, I pulled them up. Hey, presto, really good potatoes. I was feeling quite impressed with myself. But of course, it had nothing to do with me, did it, really? Not really. They were planted in the right soil. It just worked. I might have helped a bit by watering them now and again, but that was it. I didn't make them grow, though. It was a combination of factors coming together. And hey presto, potatoes. Nice ones. And my carrots, too. On the surface, they were magnificent. Full head green plumage growing. Great, they're going to be as good as the potatoes. Yeah, right. Whilst all on the top, all was good and all was well, the same can't be said for what was below the surface. To be honest, some of them were okay. The rest, however, were frankly rather pathetic. Nothing more than a pale orange stick about 2 centimetres long. I was sadly disappointed. So what went wrong? Well, here's where my ignorance comes in. You see, they might have been in the same good soil, but I managed to plant my runner beans in front of them, so they didn't really get enough light. So I had rubbish carrots. It was my fault. But what have potatoes and carrots got to do with the Holy Spirit then? Well, like no vegetables of any value can come from a poor soil or from a lack of light, our lives really can't produce anything of any lasting value without being firmly rooted in the good soil of Scripture, and with the light of God's Holy Spirit working in and through us, teaching us all that we need to know. You see, the church has been given a marvelous gift by God, His own Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to work in and through the lives of believers so that we can draw others into God's presence, so that they too might come to believe in the name of Jesus and be saved. Our reading this morning tells us how this all began. If you remember, the day of Pentecost had come around and all the disciples were gathered together and they were in one place, and suddenly there was that blowing of a violent wind. A lot of people actually heard it, and it filled the house where they were staying. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of the people in that room. And at that moment, all of them were filled with God's Holy Spirit. And they began to speak, as it says, in other tongues or other languages, as God's Spirit enabled them. Well, that one single event had a profound effect, not only in the lives of the apostles, but upon the whole church over the years to come. Not only were believers given the ability to speak in different languages or different tongues. Most notably, we know when it does that, it's actually when they're praising God in prayer. God's Spirit would work in and through them to perform many miracles of healing. But that's not all. The Holy Spirit gave the disciples spiritual gifts. Gifts that will enable them to speak words of prophecy, words of comfort into the lives of others. But it didn't stop there. It wasn't a one-off event. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and working in the hearts and minds of believers all over the world today. Which kind of begs the question, really, doesn't it? Why don't we see many miracles happening in our churches today? Well, before we can answer that question, it would be helpful to have a bit of an understanding of what actually took place on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. When the Holy Spirit came upon the church, then, three things happened. First was that the relationship between God and his people changed. It became a much closer relationship, much more intimate. Filled with the Holy Spirit, the early church enjoyed a much more personal experience with Christ than they had at any time previously. And that's something that makes Christianity rather different from other religions. The fact that Jesus knows each of us personally. He knows everything about us. He knows us intimately. And second thing it did was Pentecost signaled that we believers had received power, but power to do what? Power to tell others about Jesus. You see, the gifts that God gives us through the Holy Spirit aren't just for the church alone. We're to use them to reach out to others. Apostle Peter is the first bold example of that. He boldly proclaimed the gospel over the next few verses in a testimony about the power of the Holy Spirit, about who Jesus was. And he did it in front of the very same people who had put Jesus to death. Remember, this is the same man who just a few days before had denied Jesus three times because he was afraid. And there he is now. He's bold enough to stand up in broad daylight and risk his own life to publicly proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. Well, the third thing that happened was a breaking down of the barriers which had separated the human race ever since the Tower of Babel. When the Holy Spirit came upon the church, a new people then had been formed. One from all different races and languages. One which had a common point of reference, which their faith in Jesus Christ as their Saviour. That's a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. If you remember, the human race had built a great tower to reach up to God in a city called Babel. It ended in disaster. God scattered them, and he mixed up their languages. Well, many centuries have gone by by the time the Day of Pentecost was being celebrated at the time of Jesus. That by then, the Jewish festival of Pentecost was bringing together all manner of God's people from all over the known world. And they came to one place. They came to Jerusalem. And they were to worship God, but they had to do it in one language, the Hebrew language. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, though, that changed things. Now people wouldn't need to be coming back to Jerusalem each year because there was no longer any need to worship in the Hebrew language. As the Holy Spirit had shown, they could now go to the far corners of the earth and worship God in their own languages. And what's more, there was no need to try and build towers to reach up to heaven, because God had already come down to his people. First, Jesus came. Then after his ascension, he sent his Holy Spirit. The whole same Holy Spirit is living in the lives of believers today. A So the significance of the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is that today, right now, wherever we are in the world, we can all worship God and experience his grace and his mercy. What's more, the barriers that have previously existed that separated the human race have been broken down, so that a new humanity had been created. You know, this is why I don't really like the three tikanga system we have in our Anglican church here in New Zealand. I don't think the gospel is right. The gospel should separate people of different races. It just doesn't match up to me. Well, if all this is true, if God has created a new humanity, one which sees no barrier between races, one which has been redeemed and can now be called, as it says in John's Gospel, the children of God, one in which the Holy Spirit works powerfully in and through the lives of believers to spread the good news of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, one which sees the blind see, the lame walk, the oppressed set free, the sick healed, and most importantly, one in which our sins are forgiven, then why not here? We hear about it in other places in the world, in Africa, in Asia. God's Spirit working powerfully, bringing healing, lives miraculously being changed. But why is there so much misery and suffering here, even in the church? Now, of course, that's a whole different subject, but it's an important one because it impacts so many of us. But one thing I do want to say on that is this. Suffering is a normal part of the Christian life. Jesus suffered for us on the cross. The apostles went through great trials and sufferings in order to establish the church. Some of them were horribly murdered. Why should it be any different for us? You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is not the power of a magician that we can summon, that we can call upon to do our bidding so that we can live comfortable lives. There are many Christians throughout the world who suffer at the hands of murderous dictators and evil religious systems. They know this only too well. What God has done instead is to give us spiritual gifts to help us through our times of suffering. Paul wrote about them in his letter to the Corinthians. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, he says. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. He gives to them each one just as he determines. Now, there are some people who believe that all of these gifts died out with the apostles. They say that these gifts were only available to the church in the apostolic age. And they do so on the basis of what Paul writes again in his letter to the Corinthians, because he says this. He says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Actually, I think it's wrong to say that spiritual gifts ceased with the apostolic age. Because we have to ask ourselves an important question. Is the church perfect? Well, clearly, look around. No, I suggest. Well, it makes far more sense to read those verses then in the context of Christ's return, doesn't it? When that happens, there'll be no need for spiritual gifts because everything will be made perfect once again. The only thing that outlasts spiritual gifts is love. If, as it says in John's Gospel, God is love, then it's obvious that it's far more important to exercise that love than it is to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. But speaking from my own experience, I can say that I've witnessed God's spiritual gifts on many occasions. I also think that it's unfortunate that many Christians miss out on what God has for them because they choose not to believe that these gifts are real. But we need to be careful when it comes to spiritual gifts. You see, it's not for us to decide which gifts we have or desire to have, because these are God's gifts. So therefore, they're not ours to demand, are they? What it is appropriate to do, I think, is to ask God, how might I be serving you today? And then leave it to God to decide which gifts we need in order to accomplish that task. Well, as we read the book of Acts, we'll see all sorts of powerful things that the apostles did through the power of the Spirit. And one thing that comes clear is that it's that same Spirit that's available to us today, working in our lives. You know, I've been in 9 different churches over the last 36 years. Each one has its own way of doing things, its own culture, if you like. But one thing that joins all of them together is the Holy Spirit. But the same can't be said for all churches. You see, God's church is a bit like a vegetable garden. Some are like potatoes, quietly working away, unseen by anyone. On the surface, not much appears to be happening, but when the time comes, they produce a ripe harvest. Others are a bit like my carrots, though. They have all the razzle-dazzle on the surface. It's all go. And we stand amazed at what appears to be happening. But when the harvest time comes, well, all is revealed. Nothing of any substance is found. I guess the question for all of us then is, what kind of church do we want to be a part of? A potato church or a carrot church? Well, I know what I want to be. A potato. Look, I'm getting round already. Knobbly bits on the side. No, sorry. I want us to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want us to know God's goodness so that it overflows in our lives and into the people we meet, into our community. In fact, I think that without the Holy Spirit working in our lives, guiding and shaping all that we do, even the good things that we'll do won't be of any value because God isn't in it. So what can each of us do then? Well, firstly, we need to ask God to send his Holy Spirit upon us so that we can and be all that we should be. We need to sit quietly in his presence and ask God, fill me anew once more, God. Help me. Help me to understand your word. Help me grow in the good soil of your scripture. Come be with me. And when we do that, God answers our prayers. He comes to us. He heals us. He helps us to understand. Friends, we live in difficult times. Hard times. We need to be reminded through the Spirit, through God's Spirit enlightening us as we read his word, of what is right, what is wrong, of how we should live. We need God's Spirit to help us understand the times ahead. So why don't we do that now? Why don't we just take a few moments just to sit quietly, just to think about our own lives. Perhaps there's even something in your own life you think, well, actually, I've been a bit of an unbeliever here. I've chosen not to believe God's word. Maybe that's something we need to repent of. Perhaps we need to just say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting that your word is true. I'm trusting that your Holy Spirit will help me understand the things that are happening. Because I don't, and I need your help. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps you've got it sorted. I haven't, but perhaps you have. In which case, ask God's Spirit to help you to help others. Let God's Spirit work through you. You might guide and help others on this journey, their journey towards God. So why don't we do that? Just take a few moments, and then I shall pray for us all. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with open hearts and minds, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon your church, Lord, like they did on that day of Pentecost, that we might know the truth about you, come to understand you for who you are, that we might come to understand the things we read in your word. Lord, we pray for that gift of wisdom, Lord, that we might know right from wrong. Pour out your Spirit upon your church and pray, Lord. Each of us comes here today with their own lives, their own thoughts, their own worries and concerns, Lord. And we offer them to you now. Lord, help us. Be with us. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that we might know the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.